So let's look today at Psalm 119, verse 20. Psalm 119, verse 20. The psalmist says there, "My soul is consumed with longing for your laws at all times." Let's pray. Living God, we continue to come before you this day. And Father, we would be nothing without you. Father, our life, our existence, our purpose, everything we have, everything we are, Father, has meaning because of you. Father, has the ability to even continue because of you. And so, Father, we call out to you today. Father, we lift our hearts to you, our spirits, our minds, our whole selves. And Father, we ask that you would truly pour out your Holy Spirit among us. Father, we echo the prayers that have already been prayed. Father, we thank you so much that Yolanda Duncan is doing better. And God, we ask that you continue to keep your hand on her. And Father, our hearts are heavy today for the Metzdorf family with the loss of Lois. And God, we continue to ask that you would comfort them. And Father, we thank you so much for this campaign and how you've been at work at it. Father, again and again, we've seen your hand. And God, as the psalmist says here, God, we want to be consumed, Father, with your word. Father, so that we can dwell in it at all times, so that we can become men of God, women of God. God, we wait on you today. We ask that you would speak. In the name of your son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. So this verse that we just read out of Psalm 119, verse 20, it says, "My soul is consumed with longing for your laws at all times." In other words, what he means is, laws here means scripture. So he's saying, my soul is consumed with your scripture at all times. And what the psalmist is saying here is, he's saying, I want to be a man of the word. Whether I'm at work or at home or at a game or I'm playing with my kids or I'm out on a golf course, I want to be a man of the word. I want my life to be led and guided and directed by the word of God. So today I'd like for us to explore together how this can be done in six steps. And the steps are actually in the six Bible verses that we've been memorizing as a church body these past 6 weeks. Every one of these memory verses that we've all been memorizing, every one of them gives a key to keeping on in the word of God. And if you'll continue to build your life around these verses, then you will become a man of the word. You will become a woman of the word. Because these things teach us how the Bible can change, how the Bible can shape our lives. And these things teach us how to take the Bible and build on it, and feed on it, and live by it, and grow through it, and act on it, and trust in it. So let's look again at these six verses. And the first thing I'm going to do, if I'm going to become a man of the word or a woman of the word, is I must build on the word of God. This is in your bulletin today if you'd like to follow along with the outline provided. I must build on the word of God. In other words, I make the Bible the foundation for my life. And whatever is the foundation will determine how big the structure can be on top of it. So I'm going to build my life on the Bible. And this is what Jesus talks about in Matthew chapter 7. At the end of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says in Matthew 7, verse 24, he says this. He says, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock." He's saying here that you can build your life on sand, or you can build your life on the rock. An opinion changes, but truth doesn't change. So if you build on the rock of God's word, then you're going to build on the stability of something that never changes. When the rogue winds of life come, when the trials and the troubles and the temptations and all those things that inevitably come into all of our lives, when those things happen, you're not blown away if this is your rock, if you're standing on this. When those winds come, you are not blown away. And you don't crumble like most people do, because you are solid. You are built on a rock foundation. On the other hand, if you build on the shifting sands of opinion, if you build on the shifting sands of whatever happens to be popular, then you're going to be building on shifting sands, and the foundation, it will crumble. So I need to say first off, God, I'm going to build my life on this book. I may not always understand it, but God, even if I don't always understand everything that's in here, I'm going to build my life on what you say. Most people, though, even I think a lot of people that claim to be Christians, most people, they build their lives on shifting foundations. And their lives, they fall apart. So let's look at four common foundations that you do not want to build your life on. Number one, popular culture. Some people do build their lives on popular culture because they think, I just want to do what everybody else is doing. I just want to fit in. I just want to get along to go along. So if it's popular, I do it. And if it's not, I don't do it. And one of the problems with that is that whatever's popular today is going to be unpopular tomorrow. Whatever's in style today is not going to be in style tomorrow. Whatever is cool today is going to be uncool tomorrow. So it's constantly changing the foundation. God says this in Exodus 23, verse 2. God says, do not follow the crowd in doing wrong. Don't follow the crowd in doing wrong because the crowd is often wrong. The second thing you don't want to build on is tradition. A lot of people build their lives on tradition. In other words, they say, I do it this way because I've always done it this way. I do it this way because my family has always done it this way. And I want to be clear here, tradition isn't bad. In fact, something becomes a tradition because it works. But no tradition lasts forever. Truth lasts forever, but no man-made tradition lasts forever. Traditions eventually wear out. They all become obsolete, and then they are not valid. Jesus says this to a group of leaders. He says this in Mark 7, verse 8. He says, you have let go of the commands of God and are holding on to the traditions of men. Churches can easily fall into this. They can hold on to traditions that aren't really in the Bible. And it's sad to say, this is pretty common today. And we need to be on the watch at this at Northwest. Are we really following God's word in all that we do? Have we somehow slipped on some issues, really, to standing more on tradition than when we are on God's word? We need to examine that. But Jesus says, if you're putting tradition, as good as it may be, if you're putting tradition before truth, that's going to get you in trouble. A third thing that you do not want to build your life on is simply reason. We all need reason. In fact, God gives us the ability to reason. But sometimes what you think is reasonable is not actually right. Reason is a good thing, but it is not infallible. Proverbs 16, verse 25 says this. It says, there's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. How many times have you made a decision that you thought was reasonable, that you thought made perfect sense? I need to date this person. I need to accept this job offer. And what seemed like the right thing turned out to be an absolute disaster. Because your reason isn't always infallible. You make mistakes. You're not always as logical, we're not always as logical as we might like to think that we are. But the most important one to avoid is this one. This is the fourth one. The most important one to avoid is emotion. And some people, it's very common, some people build their lives simply on emotion. They build their lives on a feeling. If it feels right, I do it. If it feels wrong, I don't do it. In other words, I do what I feel like doing. And if I feel like doing it and it feels right, then it must be right. But there's a problem with that. Feelings can lie. And they can lie to you all the time. In fact, you can lie to yourself more than you lie to anybody else. And your feelings can sometimes tell you that things are going to go great when they aren't. And sometimes your feelings can tell you that things are going to fall apart when they're actually better than you think they are. Feelings can lie to you all the time. They are highly unreliable. And if you build your life simply on emotions, there's a word for that. And that word is immaturity. Maturity and wisdom is when you choose to act according to what is right, according to what is in this book, rather than according to what I feel like doing. You want to build your life on the Word of God. And it may not always be convenient. It may not always be politically correct. In fact, it won't always be convenient. It won't always be politically correct. But if God said it, it's got to be true. So I'm going to build my life on the Bible. This is my final authority. Not Oprah, not Dr. Phil, the Word of God. The Bible is the final authority for my life. And after you start building on it, the second thing you have to do is you have to feed on the Word of God. You have to feed on the Bible to get the spiritual strength that you need. And the Bible tells us that the Word of God is spiritual food. In fact, the Bible says this over and over again. The Bible describes itself as the water, the milk, the bread, and the meat of the spiritual life. So it has everything you're going to need for spiritual sustenance. But you have to be feeding yourself. You have to be eating something. Because it's just like if you need physical food for physical strength. In the same way, you've got to have spiritual food for spiritual strength. So you have to be feeding yourself on the Word of God. It's very possible to do ministry, serve, and not be feeding yourself on God's Word. When we do that, what's going to happen? We're either going to get way off course, or we're going to burn out. If we're going to be effective in ministry over the long haul, we have to be feeding ourselves on the Word of God. Colossians 3:16 says this. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. Let it dwell in you. Let it move into you. Let it take up residence in you in a profound and life-giving way. That's what this verse is saying here. So how do we do that? How do we feed ourselves on the Word of God? How do we allow that to happen so that the Word of God is dwelling in us and building us up and nurturing us? Let's review a few points that we looked at a few weeks ago. The first way that I can take in the Word of God is by receiving it with my ears. That means I have to be hearing the Word of God. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes from hearing the message. Faith comes from hearing the message. So how do you hear it? Part of that is you commit yourself to coming to church and to listening to the Word of God whenever it is being taught to you. But of course, the challenge with this, as most of us know, is that we can forget just about everything that we hear. So you have to do a second thing. And the second way to feed on the Word of God is I read it with my eyes. So I hear it with my ears and I read it with my eyes. Having a Bible in your house is not going to bless your life. You've got to have the Bible in your heart. You've got to take it in by reading the Word of God. So we read it with our eyes. But there's still a challenge here. I find, for myself anyway, not only can the truth go in one ear and out the other, for me sometimes the truth can go in one eye and out the other. Because I can get distracted. So there's a third way that we can feed on the Word of God. And that is, I research it with my hands, and with my mouth. And what does that mean? This is talking about studying the Word of God. Remember that when you're studying the Bible, it is very helpful to have what? To have a pencil in your hand. It is very helpful to be writing things down, writing down your thoughts, journaling what God is saying to you. I can't tell you how powerful this has been in my life. When I take this discipline seriously and in my daily devotion, God, what are you saying to me through your scripture? And I write it down. And what has happened to me again and again is I don't always get it in the moment. But then after a couple of weeks, I'll look back and I'll reflect on what God has been saying to me. And I'll see the same thing over and over. God's been saying the same thing to me 3, 4, 5 times. You know, hello, God's clearly speaking. But that would not have happened without writing it down. And you can also study the Bible with your mouth by talking about it with other believers. And that's what small group life is all about. We feed ourselves by feeding one another. How many people in this campaign have been richly blessed when we get together in groups and we talk about, hey, here's what God's been showing me this week. I've been so blessed by this, just this past 40-day campaign. I'm in two groups and I'm amazed. I'm encouraged. I'm inspired to hear from other believers, hey, this is what God's been doing in my life. It truly does build us up. We learn from each other. So we research it with our hands and our mouth by writing it out and by talking it out. A fourth way to feed yourself on the word is I can reflect on it with my mind. I reflect on it with my mind. That means I spend time meditating on the word of God. And that's very much what this 40 Days in the Word campaign has been all about. Different ways to meditate on, to reflect on, to really dwell with the word of God. So you talk to yourself about what God has said to you. Anybody here ever talk to themselves? Am I the only one? Part of this, reflecting on it with your mind, is talking to yourself about what God has been saying to you. And that's a way to reflect on it, to be thinking over and over throughout the day, again and again, God, help me to recall what it was you said to me this morning. Help me to dwell on that. And then a fifth way I can feed myself is I remember it with my heart. And this is talking about memorizing scripture. Taking the time. We all memorize things. It's not that we don't have the ability to memorize. It's that are we choosing to memorize God's word? When we do that, we can remember it with our hearts. And so, as you do these five things, you absorb what the word of God is really saying to you. And some of you may wonder, why on earth do I have this little glass up here? And the reason I have this glass up here is this. What we're talking about here is very much like if you just were to, if all you do is simply listen to the word of God, if all you do is if your Christian life is, I come to church and I listen to sermons, I go to Sunday school, I go to small group, all you're doing is basically this. That's all you're doing. And because of that, God's word is not being absorbed into your life. But if you do all these things, if you come and you hear it with your ears, and then you read the word of God and you see it with your eyes, and then you speak it with your mouth, and you write it down with your hands, and you take the time to talk about it with other believers, and you reflect on it with your mind, and you memorize scripture and you take it in, and you memorize the word of God and you get the word of God in your heart, then slowly, already this water's starting to change. You fully absorb the word of God. But it's not going to happen if you're doing the quick dunk method. And why does God want this to happen to us? Why does he want us to truly take in, to truly absorb his word? That brings us to the next point. Not only are we to build on the word of God, not only are we to feed on it, but to fully integrate God's word into our lives, we must live by it. Because the word of God is not only food for your soul, the word of God is also your standard for living. It is the word of God, it is this book that sets the standard for how God wants us to live. It's the standard by which you make decisions for the things that you are facing in life. The Bible says this in Psalm 1, verses 1 through 2. It says, "Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night." This is so powerful. And this is not just for unbelievers. This is for believers. Believers, you can choose one of these two paths. And many of us have been there. As a believer, you can choose, I'm just going to be with the counsel. I'm a believer, I love Jesus, but I'm going to be with the counsel of the wicked all the time. Where does that lead you? Or you can choose, I'm going to give myself to God's word. I'm going to meditate on it day and night. What does that mean? It means that if you want your life to be blessed, that's what this psalm is talking about. If you want your life to be blessed, you don't build your life on the counsel of the wicked. In other words, you don't build your life on the way that the world thinks, but you meditate, you build your life on what God thinks. The counsel of the wicked, that's the stuff that we hear all the time in the world that's around us. It's the values, the counsel of the wicked, that's the values of the world. If you watch football today, between every commercial break, that's probably what you're going to get a heavy dose of. Here's the values of the world. If you go to the water cooler at work this next week and listen, probably you're going to hear a lot of the values of the world. And the Bible says, if you want your life to be blessed, you don't build your life. You don't live your life by that kind of counsel. But live your life, build your life, feed your life on the Word of God. Because it's the Word of God that will give you hope, real hope, when you're in a crisis. It's the Word of God that will give you comfort when you're in despair. It's the Word of God that will give you wisdom when you're confused. It's the Word of God that will give you guidance when you're looking for direction. And it's the Word of God that will give you strength to fight against temptation. Psalm 119, verse 11 says this, "I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you." And that word hidden there is so important. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. That word hidden points to a key to living by the Bible. To live by the Bible, we've got to hide it in our hearts. We've got to take it into our hearts. So often, when we most need the Bible, it's when we don't have the Bible with us. When we're talking to a friend who's in trouble, or when we're tempted by something, we very often do not have the physical Bible with us. And that's why we have to hide the Word of God in our hearts, so that God can bring the Word back to our minds for whatever it is that we're facing. And He'll bring it back to your mind when that friend of yours is facing some challenge, they're up against some challenge, and he's there in your face, or she's there right before you, and she's pouring out her heart, or he is, and he's saying, I'm really struggling. And it's not going to be very effective if you say, stay right here, I'll be back in 30 minutes, I got to go get my Bible. No, you've got to have it hidden in your heart, because those key moments are going to come. And if you're sincere about, I really love these people, then you got to be sincere about, I really want God's word hidden in my heart so I'll be ready for those times so God can bring it to my mind so I can encourage, so I can lift up, so I can strengthen my brothers and sisters. And that verse, this has happened to me, and I've heard it from others in this 40-day campaign, it's happened to me again and again. A verse that if you put me on the spot and said, just on a random conversation, Tom, what's this verse say? I might not be able to recall it. But the Holy Spirit works. And when the crisis is there, if you've got it hidden in your heart, the Holy Spirit brings up that verse. The right verse at the right time. The Spirit is that powerful. When you let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, you absorb the nature of Christ. And I'd like to go back to this T here a little bit. And already, you can see how it's absorbed. I can smell it. It's absorbed the aroma. It's absorbed the color. It's absorbed the color of this tea. But there's something else that's happened here. Already, we can't even use the same word for this. We can't call this a cup of water. Its identity has changed. This is now a cup of tea. And as we absorb God's word, that happens to us. Our identity changes. We become that man of God. We become that woman of God. You take on a whole new identity, and you become what God has always wanted you to become. So to become a man of the word or to become a woman of the word, you've got to first make the Bible your foundation, and you build on it. Then you've got to make the Bible your food, and you eat it. And then you've got to make the Bible your lifestyle, and you live by it. You make it the standard by which you live. And then fourth, the fourth thing you do to integrate God's word is you make it the seed through which you grow. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago. We talked about how the Bible is often referred to as a seed. It's planted in your heart. And when the truth is planted in your heart, if it finds good soil, it grows and it produces fruit. And God wants you to be fruitful in your life. But in order to do that, you've got to have an open heart. You've got to have a receptive heart. You've got to have good soil in your life. A fourth verse that we looked at during this campaign is Psalm 119, verse 18, which says, "Open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law." There's so many wonderful things in God's word, but you can't see them unless God has opened your eyes. And for God to open my eyes, that means I've got to be receptive. That means I've got to be open to the word of God. So if I'm going to become a man of the word, if you're going to become a woman of the word, we've got to be open to it. And Jesus told a whole parable about this in Luke chapter 8. It's called the parable of the soils, or the parable of the sower. Jesus says that a farmer goes out and he sows seed, and it falls on four different kinds of soil, and it gets four different kinds of results. And I used to think that this represented four different kinds of people, but I really don't think that's what Jesus is talking about here. I really think he's talking about four different kinds of attitudes. Four different kinds of attitudes that you can have towards the Bible. And the soil represents our attitudes. And the truth is, in the same day, I can have all four different kinds of attitudes. The first soil is the hardened soil. And the hardened soil represents a closed mind. A closed mind. The hardened soil in this parable represents a closed mind. Sometimes we don't even give God a chance to talk to us because our minds are already made up. Our hearts are hardened. We're not willing to listen. And boy, is this painful when we see this in our own lives, when we see this in the life of another believer, and we know that the joy that could come, we know the blessing that could come, but that heart has become hardened, and they're not really, even as a believer, their minds are already made up. They're not willing to be open. And they say, you know what? I really don't want to hear what the Word of God has to say about my girlfriend. I like my girlfriend, so I don't want to hear what God has to say. I don't want to hear what God has to say about my debt. It's my debt. I don't want to hear what God has to say about it. I don't want to hear what God has to say about this or that because I've already got my mind made up. And that is a closed mind. And that's the way a lot of people's minds are. They're hard-minded. They are not open. So the first action is, I must cultivate an open mind. If I'm going to let God's truth really shape me, really transform me, if I'm going to let the Word of God really change my life, I have to be open to it. I have to cultivate an open mind. And then Jesus said that the second kind of soil on which the farmer throws the seed is the shallow soil. And the shallow soil, that represents the superficial mind. Sometimes we react superficially to the Bible. We go to church and we say, probably like last week, we say, oh, that was some great teaching. We need to get Pastor Bill here some more. I really like that. That was good. But we've forgotten it. This is more when I preach. But we've forgotten it by the time we've gotten to the parking lot. We get excited, we react emotionally, but we don't really take the time to let it sink in. and it never really penetrates the bedrock of our personality. So what's the action step here if I don't want to be superficial? And I know you don't. I know you don't want to be a superficial man. I know you don't want to be a superficial woman. So how do I get some spiritual maturity into my life? Here's the second action step. This is so important. I must make time for God's word. I must make time for God's word. If I do just a quick little glance, if I do just one of these, quick little glance, I glance at it, I don't gaze at it, I don't give it any real time, then I can't build any roots. Roots take time to develop. And no roots, no fruits. Busyness can be a major barrier that keeps you from being a man of the word or a woman of the word. In fact, I would say, quite frankly, the biggest sin in the church today, the biggest sin is not drug addiction. The biggest sin is not robbing. The biggest sin is not lying. I would say, in my opinion, the biggest sin in the church today is busyness. The biggest sin in the church today is people saying to the living God, God, I love you, but I'm just too busy. So all I can do is glance at your word. God, I just don't have time. Busyness can kill our spiritual walk. A third soil is a soil with weeds. And a soil with weeds represents a preoccupied mind. In other words, the seed God gives is the truth. And he plants it in my mind and in my heart. And I go, yeah, okay. And I let it sit there and it starts growing. But then I let other things choke it out of my life. And usually it's good things. Things like a career. Things like money. Money, rightly understood, it can be good. Things like entertainment. We all need times to rest. But when we get overly focused on these things, when our career becomes our passion, when making money becomes the main thing, if I get a spare minute, I need to be entertained, that stuff chokes out the word of God in our life. And the weeds choke it out, and I get preoccupied. And then I can't really do anything with it. All the circuits, they're already busy in my life. And that's why I can't hear God. What's the action step here? The action step here is I must minimize the distractions. I must ask for God's help. God, show me how I can minimize the distractions in my life. And I want to be clear here. For most believers, the distractions are not evil things. The distractions are good things that we've made best things. They're good things that we've put above the Word of God. But if we really want the Word of God in our life, if we want to take it in, we've got to minimize those distractions. Then finally, Jesus says that there's a fourth kind of soil, and that's the good soil. The good soil where the seed of truth gets planted in your brain and in your heart, and it's allowed to grow and develop. It gets roots, and then it gets fruit. And this soil represents a willing mind. And a willing mind says, God, I'm willing to learn. I'm teachable. I'm humble. I don't think I know it all, God. I don't think I've got it all figured out. So God, would you teach me? And the action step here is I must cooperate with whatever God says. I must be willing to cooperate with what God says. And that leads us to the fifth major point today. If I want to be a man of the word, if I want to be a woman of the word, I've got to build on it, I've got to feed on it, I've got to live by it, I've got to grow through it. And number five, I've got to act on the Word of God. Another Bible verse that we've studied in these 6 weeks together is James 1:22. James 1:22, which says, do not merely listen to the Word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. If I listen to the Word and I take notes on the word, but I don't do it, then I don't really have the word. And I'm living a life of self-deception. So far for me in this campaign, this has been the greatest strength of this campaign. I love the emphasis. Again and again and again and again we've heard. We need to read it. We need to write down notes. But it's all for nothing if we're not serious about living it out, if we're not serious about doing what God says in His Word. Finally, there's one last thing that I need to do with the Word of God if I'm going to become that person that has an integrated life of integrity. I must trust in the Word of God. So I build on it, I feed on it, I live by it, I grow through it, I act on it, and then I live it out by trusting it. Why can I trust the Bible? You can trust the Bible because God is never going to lead you in the wrong direction. Not ever. Other people will. Sometimes even well-meaning people. I've had good friends give me advice, and it was the wrong advice. You've had friends who love you deeply, who really care about you, and they gave you advice, but it was the wrong advice. Sometimes even well-meaning people will steer you in the wrong way. But God will never do that. God will always lead you in the right way. You can always, 110% of the time, you can always trust that God will lead you in the right way. So if He tells you to go that way, you'd better go that way. Because it's always going to be the right way. It's going to be the best way. Psalm 119, 105 is our memory verse for this week. Psalm 119, verse 105 says this. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. This is sometimes called the flashlight verse of the Bible. Your word is a lamp for my feet. It's like a flashlight showing me the way so that I don't stub my toe in the night. Are you ever in the dark? Yeah, if we're honest, all the time. Some of you may be thinking, I don't have the slightest idea what I'm supposed to do about the relationship that I'm in right now. I don't have the slightest idea whether or not I should accept this job offer. I don't have the slightest idea with what I should do with the next 5 years of my life. I'm confused. No, you're in the dark. And what do you do when you're in the dark? You flip on the light. And this is why you need to memorize this verse, because it is a promise from the living God. So the next time you're in the dark and you don't know which way to turn and you don't know what to do and where to go, you just say, God, You said in Psalm 119, verse 105, God, You said the word, Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. God, I'm going to trust Your promise. I'm going to read Your word. Please show me, God. Please be that light and show me what You want to do. I'm going to wait on You, God. I'm going to wait for You to show me. So here's what I want to challenge you to do. I want to challenge you as we get into this last week of 40 days in the Word to make a commitment to keep on doing what you've been doing, not to stop. It's just been awesome. I don't remember a time when as a church body, it seemed like more of us were spending daily time in God's Word. That is a powerful thing in the church of God. I want to challenge you to keep on being in a small group. And I want to challenge you to keep reading God's word every day, having a daily quiet time, a daily devotion. If you want to change groups, maybe it wasn't working so well with the one you're in, if you want to change groups and get in a new one, that's fine. Or if you want to start a new group, that's fine too. But keep the habit of group study and keep the habit of a personal study so that you can become a man of the word, so that you can become a woman of the word. Let's pray. Father, we continue to come before You this day. And Father, we thank You for what an incredible, what an awesome God You are. God, that You love us, that You always take the initiative, that You always reach out to us. And Father, before any of us here were ever born, God, You knew that we would live. You knew that we would rebel against You. And Father, You provided. You sent Your one and only Son, Father, to die for us. And Father, if there's anyone here who has not yet known that joy of receiving what Jesus did for them, Father, so that they could be completely forgiven and made right with You and be able to walk with You day by day, Father, we just ask that You would work in that heart, in that mind, and that today, this moment, would be the moment where they would say, God, I'm ready. I believe you love me, and I invite you into my life. Would Jesus be my Savior? Would you be my Lord? And Father, we thank you for your word. Father, we thank you for all that it does for us. We thank you, Father, that we can grow through it. Father, we thank you that we can feed on it. We thank you that it is our standard for living. Father, we thank you that it strengthens us and encourages us and lifts us up. And Father, we ask that you would help us to grow in becoming men of the word, to grow into becoming women of the word. Father, so that we could see this part of the world, Father, so that we could see this Milwaukee area changed for you and for your kingdom. God, we want to make a difference. We want our lives to count. Father, we ask that you would pour out your power. God, we pray this all in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
This time we're going to have an opportunity to respond.